2 summers ago, we took the teens to Cedar River Baptist Camp. Brother Booth's son, John Booth, and I think it was Brother Koskin, a couple of preachers got together and wanted to do a summer camp. And Brother Gomez had just bought Cedar River Baptist Camp and said, let them use it for the week. And we went out there, and Brother Tim Booth was preaching that week. And he preached on the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God. And it was a great week. And I know a bunch of our teens made some excellent decisions that week. One in particular, I believe, could have changed his life. He made an amazing decision. His teenager said at the end of that preaching service through that whole week of camp on the way home, I think it was a week after, he told me, he said, I used to look at going to camps with the attitude of enough with the preaching, let's get to the fun. But after coming to camp this week, I had the attitude, enough with the fun, let's get to the preaching. And it was a blessing. I'm thankful, Brother Booth. Thank you for his burden for young people. And I'm excited to hear from him tonight. So I'm going to pray. Special music's going to come. And please give your attention to Brother Booth. Let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. I do thank you for how good you've been to us. Thank you for this man of God, his faithfulness through the years, Lord. I thank you for his testimony, his burden, Lord. I thank you how you've used him over and over again. And just the example I gave, Lord, and 2 years ago, how you used him mightily with our teenagers and made some great decisions, Lord. God, I pray you'd help him tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd use him. I pray you'd speak to the hearts. I pray you'd just change lives tonight. There's a sinner who's saved on their way to hell. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you convict them of their sin and they get saved tonight. Love you and thank you, Lord. All this we ask in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Oh. Oh, how well I remember in the old-fashioned days when the old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned ways.
In his old-fashioned meetings as they tarried there, in the old-fashioned manner how God answered their prayer. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray. And God heard me and saved me in the old-fashioned way.
They were singing songs of praise, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. When the old account was settled and my name was written down,
I was saying yes to Jesus as I knelt to pray. And the fire fell from heaven in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray. And God heard me and saved me in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray. And God heard me and saved me in the old-fashioned way. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray. And God heard me and saved me in the old-fashioned way.
Praise the Lord. That was a blessing. And I enjoy all the special music. And the group over there on the piano area over there made me feel like I was back in Louisiana. Amen. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank the Lord for Brother Angel and his friendship. And we stopped by and saw him just before we came here. And he is recovering. The baby did not survive. It's good to see him. Of course, Brother Woodward, you know, Brother Woodward had him laughing until he was about ready to bust his stitches loose. But anyway, it was good to see him. And, of course, I appreciate my good friend, Brother Woodward. He's been the dearest friend for many years. And I was sitting up here on the front row, and when they asked for volunteers for the nursery, I didn't even have to turn around. I knew he raised his hand. Well, yeah, I'd just been around him that long, you know, so. And he's tired, and I know he's heard me preach three times already today. He's ready to go back to nursery and get a break. good to see Jana Bragg, and we've known Jana for many, many years, and so excited for her. I do wish, though, that we had one big light right over her and Jake, just to keep an eye on them tonight. I'm a little nervous about it being this dark, and there you go. Amen. Amen. Your daddy will thank me for that. Amen. And good to see the Griffins here. We just spent almost a week together up in Menominee, Wisconsin. And I was preaching a revival meeting up there. And the Griffin family came up and sang during the meetings. And we stayed in the same place. There was a home there that they have a basement that's finished off. And they stayed down there. And I stayed in a room up top. And trust me, those girls can snore loud. And amen. But anyway, we had an interesting time up there. I'm walking a little bit gingerly because I have gout. And I was up there, and I got gout, and it was in my knee, and I was having a pretty hard time the first few days getting around. And then the lady of the house made sweet tea. I like sweet tea. So I drank four or five glasses of it Sunday afternoon. She didn't realize that the sugar substitute, I don't remember what it's called, Brother Griffin remembers, xylitol. She used xylitol in that, and I guess when you boil it, it's not good for your stomach. I found that out. I drank four or five glasses of it, and Sunday afternoon I made five or six visits to the bathroom. And when you have gout in your knee and you can't hardly walk, and you're trying to get there as quick as possible, not a good thing. Amen. But we survived that, and the gout is pretty much gone from my knee, and it dropped down into my heel. And so, anyway, it's just it's part of getting as old as Brother Woodward. Those things happen. But I'm glad to be here tonight. I appreciate this church, and I always enjoy getting to come here on Wednesday before football camp. And now on this special time, I love your preacher. You've been blessed. And I hope you never take that for granted. And so let's open our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I like old-fashioned Sunday. I like old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned music. We got to get back up. We're in a mess. Revelation chapter 2, I want to begin reading with verse 1. And here's this letter to the church at Ephesus. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." This is a good church. This is an independent fundamental Baptist church. This is an old-fashioned church. Verse 3 says, "And hast borne," that's they've carried some sorrows, they've carried some challenges, "and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." You haven't changed. You haven't given up. You've stayed by the old stuff. Verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." This is a great church. This church of Ephesus, the Spirit of God is leading as a letter is written to this church in Ephesus. You know, in everything we do in life, there are foundational things that are essential and must be learned and established for there to be any success. It's that way with a church. It's that way in anything. My three boys used to amateur box. For the first year that they amateur boxed, they had an excellent boxing coach, but all that he taught them, he didn't teach them any other great techniques or any great combinations in their punches, but he taught them to throw a jab and to keep their guard up. That's all he taught them. And they fought several fights, and that's all they basically knew in boxing. It's foundational. You know, that's what you have to, if you get everything else and you miss that, you're going to get knocked out. It's foundational. You know, in marriage and courtship, there are foundational things. Many of us get into trouble over the years after we lose those foundational intimacies and courtship and efforts that are made. And we've been married for many years, and sometimes we just are going through the routines, and that's when marriages begin to have problems. When we first get saved, we're tender. We're excited. You know, then we begin to learn and develop some character in our Christian life. And it's essential. We come to church. We learn to come to church when we feel like it or when we don't feel like it because it's the right thing to do. We develop some character. We learn that we ought to give whether we feel like giving or don't feel like giving. We learn to give our tithes whether it looks like we can afford it or not, because that's what the Lord tells us to do. We learn to go soul winning whether we feel like going soul winning or not, because that's the right thing. We read our Bibles through because that's what we're supposed to do. We learn to pray even when we don't feel like praying, because that's what a Christian's supposed to do. But my dear friend, it's easy to get in a dangerous position where pretty soon, instead of building on the foundation of our excitement and our tenderness and our love for what Jesus did for us when He saved us, pretty soon, instead of building on that foundation, we begin to substitute for that foundation. We've learned the character. We've learned the mechanics of the Christian life. You know, Martha and Mary had Jesus over, and you remember the story, how that Martha, she was getting a little peeved at Mary. Boy, she was doing all the work, and Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. She got a little upset and said, "Lord, get her busy. She ought to be in here helping me, you know." And He said, "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much serving, but Mary is doing the better part." And you know, sometimes we independent fundamental Baptists, we've learned how to dress right. We've learned how to talk right. We've learned how to do the things that we ought to do as a Christian. But it's easy, if we're not careful, to lose that foundation, to lose that first love, to lose that tenderness in our walk with God, to lose that intimacy. And before we know it, we're mechanical. We're walking through the motions of it. It's all just mechanical. But we've lost the heart of it. In 2 Peter 1:5, it says, "Beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And on it goes. And what it's telling us, on that foundation of faith, build on that, add to it. But it doesn't say substitute for it. And I want to tell you something. Do you know God's not overly impressed with our activity? We're not left here to try to earn God's favor by how busy we are all the time. And this was a good church, the church at Ephesus. I mean, notice the description. He mentions their works. That's literally the effort that they put in. He mentions their labor. That's labor. That literally means a weariness to where work is exhausting. He mentions their patience. How they could endure. That they hated evil. They checked out preachers. They held up under the trials. They wouldn't faint. They didn't quit. What great character. But then he says in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Notice how important God takes this. Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." I heard a message preached by an independent fundamental Baptist on how that everything's set up in this church to run like a machine, and all that's necessary, just keep the machine running. Just keep the machine running. Can I tell you tonight, God's not interested in you becoming a machine. God's interested in your heart. Above all things, God wants your heart. God wants you to stay in love with Him. He wants you to continue to appreciate Him. He wants you to keep that foundation that when you first got saved, you were so grateful that God would love somebody like you, that He would send His own Son to Calvary to shed His blood for you. And you're so grateful that He didn't stuff you in hell, but He forgave you and gave you salvation. That you just wanted to serve Him. You wanted to do something for Him. But it was from that motivation and from that heart of love. It's what the Apostle Paul, when he got saved on the Damascus Road that day, and he said, "Now, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me." Look over there in Matthew chapter 22. And here we find where those Pharisees tried to put Jesus into an intellectual corner. Matthew 22 and verse 36. And so they said to him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Hey, Lord, which is the first? What's the great commandment? I mean, what's the main thing? You know, they were trying to put him in an intellectual corner where they could debate with him. The Lord simply and quickly responded, and he said, hey, the first and great commandment is that you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. This is the foundation. This is the first. This is the main thing. Folks, I want to tell you, all over this country today, we have independent Baptists that are dropping off like flies. I mean, they used to be in church. They used to sing in the choir. They used to go out sowing, and they used to be on a bus route. I mean, they're all over. You go out knocking on doors very long, you'll run into some. They'll tell you how they used to be. Used to be an usher. Used to sing a special. Used to be in the choir. What happened? Well, somewhere along the line, they got burned out. I hate that term, burned out. They got burned out. You know what the problem was? You don't get burned out on Jesus, my friend. What happened is they got all the character developed. But I'm going to tell you, when you start running in the character of your flesh, it will always lead you to where you get burdened down and disgusted and bored with it eventually. They lost the foundation. They lost the first love. They quit refueling every day and spending time with Jesus and walking with Him and loving Him and praising Him and keeping their hearts tender with Him. You fall in love with Jesus, and our desire used to be to serve Him because we loved Him. We fell in love with our Lord, and we had a desire to take a stand for Him because of what He's done for us. We had a desire to tell others and win souls. We had a desire to be faithful, all because we loved Him and appreciate what He did for us. But then along the line in our Christian lives, the old devil began to fight us. We learned how we just got to keep going anyway. We developed character. But it's a dangerous thing when character becomes your biggest problem. It's a dangerous thing when the blessing becomes a burden. Now the Christian life's become a chore. Now we got to go to church. Here it is Saturday. Man, I'm tired. I've been working all week. Preacher wants us there for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Got to go back on Wednesday night. Man, I'm teaching a Sunday school class. And boy, I'm tired of this. Isn't there somebody else that could do this for a while? And it becomes a burden rather than a blessing. What happened? You left the foundation. You left your first love. We have substituted character for our relationship with Jesus Christ. We go, go, go like Martha of old, cumbered about with much serving, but with little power, much weariness. We go, 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 go with little effect, but a lot of statistics. And the character of our flesh eventually leads us to catastrophe. We need to never forget that God saved us to have a relationship with Him. That's why He saved us. We're reconciled unto Him. We're brought back to have a walk with Him, a relationship with Him. I mean, it's an amazing thing that God wants to have a relationship with us. But that's why He created us. And that's why He saved us. He desires your love tonight. Isn't that something? That God would desire your love tonight? We're sinful, wicked creatures. But that God would desire my love tonight. What an overwhelming thought. I mean, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells us that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. They had fellowship together. God desired His relationship. The Bible tells us about the story about the 100 sheep and the 90 and that the 99 that were there in the sheepfold, and the Lord went out to look after the one. Isn't that amazing? That I would be so important to Jesus Christ that He would have been willing to go to Calvary just for me. Go out there looking just for the one. That's how much you mean to the Lord tonight. He desires a relationship with you. He desires your love. The Bible's an amazing thing. It tells us when it comes to the Lord's Supper time, He said, as often as you would, remember. Well, isn't that something? That we would be so pathetic that our old nature's prone to wander. Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love. That we'd be so pathetic that the Lord would have to say, hey, church, hey, have the Lord's Supper. And as often as you would, remember my broken body. Remember my shed blood for you. Oh, God, forgive us if we ever forget in a day what the Lord went through at Calvary for us. He desires your love tonight. He desires a relationship with you. I'll never forget when I first fell in love with my wife. We were in Bible college. And she at that time was actually dating another guy, and he was a friend of mine. I'd never met her. He said, hey, I want to introduce my girlfriend to you. I said, fine. He takes me over to the lounge, and he introduces me to Janelle. And I remember seeing her, boy, she was gorgeous. She had just a countenance for the Lord. I could tell she loved God. Man, I walked away from there thinking, boy, that sorry devil, he doesn't deserve a good girl like that. I remember going back, and next day I went to the chow line. You know, when she worked in the college program in the cafeteria and she'd dish out food, I'd walk by and she said, hi, Tim, and boy, I remember my old heart started beating. I thought, dear Lord, is this the one? And I'd go back and I'd think, dear Lord, I can't be thinking about her. That's my friend's girlfriend. And then I'd go back for seconds. Man, I remember going back to my room at my dorm and getting on my knees and saying, dear God, if this is the right girl, if this is the one you have for me, the Lord, you got to break them up. Thank God for answered prayer. Amen. And I remember when we started courting, and I just knew, it was her. And finally, I got up the courage to tell her I loved her. Boy, we were down, we were in a hallway all by ourselves at the college, and I'd been practicing. Boy, I had it all down, so I'd be, you know, real debonair. And I looked down at her, and she looked up at me with her pretty eyes, and I said, Janelle, she said, what? I said, I love you. Man, my voice cracked right at the wrong time. I thought, isn't this great, boy? She really impressed marrying a guy who hadn't got out of puberty yet. But you know her response? She looked at me and she said, I don't know what to tell you. I thought, what's wrong with you? I know what I want to hear. You know, you women think you got to pull him along. Pull him along. I remember I couldn't wait day after day. I knew she loved me. I mean, good night, what's not to love? She wouldn't say it. There was a lot less to love back then, but she wouldn't say anything. I remember how my heart longed. Finally, 5 days later, Wednesday night, we go in for church. I go and sit down in the pew. She sits down next to me. She nudges me with her hymn book. You know, that's about as close as we can get. I said, what? She said, I love you. Whew, buddy, I was ready to charge hell with a wet mop. Amen. I longed for that love. And do you know that my Bible tells me that my God longs for my love? He hungers for it. He said to the church at Ephesus, you got everything down. You know, and I appreciate you got all these good character traits down, but I got somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. It's not sweet like it used to be. It's not the intimacy that we used to have. You're not motivated by love anymore. And he said, I'm telling you what, you've got to repent of that. You've got to repent quickly before I take that candle out of there. You're going to lose your church. You're going to lose it all because you can't keep strong on a faulty foundation. You've got to keep the foundation right. You've got to keep the first commandment down. Folks, we got people in our independent Baptist churches. They know how to keep their hair cut as a man. They know how to dress in dresses as a lady. They know all the right talk and everything. And they're living like the devil. Boy, they've impressed the church. And they've impressed the preacher. And they've impressed everybody but God Almighty. God's looking and says, hey, listen, if you'll give me your heart, I can work out the rest of it. Old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you give God your heart, He can comb the kinks out of your head. That's exactly right. Not only does He desire your love, but He deserves it. He deserves your love. You know, He's never failed you. Some of you teenagers get so wrapped up that you want your friends to be impressed with you all the time. I want to tell you something. You aren't going to live very long until you'll find out they'll fail you. But your Lord's never going to fail you. He promised He'll be there with you all your life. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never break a promise to you. He'll know everything about you and still love you. He's never mistreated you. He's never misled you. He knows you, yet He loves you. He knew everything you'd ever do in all your life, and yet He loved you enough to go to Calvary. He knew every thought you'd ever think, and yet He loved you enough to go to Calvary. He knew how many times you'd fail Him after you got saved. Yet He loved you enough to go to Calvary. Nobody will ever love you like that. Nobody will ever be as faithful as He is faithful. He deserves your time. He deserves your attention. He deserves your obedience. Why do you think the Lord said that He wants us to pray without ceasing? Because He wants our contact all day long. He wants us to fellowship with Him all the time. He wants our heart knit to Him. Listen to me. Awful hard to get moral trouble when you're talking to the Lord all day long. Awful hard to get enamored with the world when your heart's in touch with Him all day long. Awful hard to get off track when you realize, boy, He's with me through all of this. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. His Word is true, and every morning He shows me new truths and encourages my heart and strengthens me. He deserves your love. So let me ask you tonight, how's your relationship with His love letter tonight? I'm not asking you how many you had on your bus today. I'm not asking you how many you turned in your soul winner report. I'm asking you how is your relationship with God's book, His love letter to you, where He speaks to us. It's foundational. Well, I remember getting the notes from my wife when we were dating. Boy, I'd read them over and over and over again. They never were boring to me. Never. Why is God's Word boring to you? Why is it you can read the newspaper fine and you read two verses of the Bible and you're sleeping? His love letter to us. I remember when I went to Bible college, I'd been a preacher's kid. You know, my dad being a preacher, and I'd been in church all my life. I remember when I got to Bible college, I felt embarrassed with what little knowledge I had of the Bible, really, other than just what I'd heard taught and preached. But my own relationship with the Bible was so pathetically shallow. I remember old Dr. John O. Rice got up to preach. He looked down his glasses the way he would, you know, on his old wrinkled face. And old tears dripping down, coursing through those wrinkles. And he looked out and he says, you know, you can measure your love for Jesus by your love for His Word. Because the Word of God is the written Word and Jesus is the living Word. I remember that went to my heart like a dagger. And I thought, dear God, I'm so ashamed. I got saved as a boy. Been in church all my life. Sunday school. I was president of a youth group. My relationship with the Word of God on a daily basis was pathetic. That changed me. And I thought, how does the Lord feel about my relationship when He looks at how much time I spend in the Word of God? Time in prayer. Time praising Him and thanking Him. He deserves our love. We used to sing, I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Is that true? Is that true for us? We've got time for football, but we don't have time to pray. We've got time for news, but we don't have time for the Bible. We've got time for hunting, but we don't have time for soul winning. We've got time for shopping, but we don't have time to just sit at His feet like Mary and drink in all that He has to speak to us about. What's the first and great commandment? Oh, you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Hey, church at Ephesus, you got it all down. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Well, can I tell you, when you fall in love with Him, serving Him and obeying Him is no longer a burden. It's no longer a burden. It's not a chore. It's a delight. It's not a have to. It's a get to. Dress standards? Okay, Lord, what is it you want? No matter whatever you want, Lord, just show me. I'll dress however you want me to dress, Lord, because you've got my heart. I love you more than anything. What kind of music do you want me to listen to, Lord? What kind of time schedule do you want, Lord? You know why we've got so many young people going through Christian school, graduating, going out and thinking they've got to play in the world and everything? Because they've just never gotten to first base in their Christian life. They've just never gotten the foundation of loving Him with all of their heart and all of their soul and all of their mind. I remember when I first started playing football, I'd looked forward to it so long through junior high school. My brother was a good athlete, and boy, I couldn't wait to get ninth grade of high school and be able to play full contact football. Man, I remember when we first went out and all the drills they put us through. First 2 weeks, we hardly saw football. And you know, that wasn't really what I had in mind. You know, I was thinking of carrying the football and running for touchdowns and cheerleaders cheering and all that, you know. We never had any of that. Well, I mean, he had us do some of the dumbest things. He lined us up 10 yards apart, head to head, blew the whistle, had to run full blast into each other. Didn't even have a football. I thought, this isn't really what I had in mind. But you know, I didn't care. I didn't care what the coach wanted. I mean, back in those days, you know, they gave us all kinds of rules. Had to have our hair cut. Couldn't have a girlfriend during football season. All those, you know what, didn't matter. Man, I wanted to play football. That's where my heart was. You know, the preacher gets up and preaches about ladies. You ought to dress modestly. You know, you ought to dress like a lady. Who's he thinking to tell me what to do? You know what the problem is? We haven't got the first commandment down. We fall in love with the Lord Jesus. It's not about, you know, well, Lord, you're going to fit into my plans here. It's about, Lord, what do you want? What is it you want? It's all about that first commandment. It's all about that foundation. You'll go to all kinds of extremes. You know, well, I don't like all these rules and, you know, these do's and don'ts. Doesn't bother you in the basketball game you're playing. They even hire somebody to put on a striped shirt and watch and see if they can catch you doing something. But when it comes to living for the Lord, well, you don't want anybody telling me. And our problem is a heart problem. Worldliness isn't a mental issue. It's not an information issue. Well, I just don't know if I believe that. That's not what worldliness problem is. The Bible says, love not the world. It's a love problem. It's a heart problem. So he says, if the church at Ephesus, you got everything down, everything's looking great, but I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. How are you doing tonight in that relationship with Him? not ask about your statistics. I'm asking, how are you doing in your relationship with Him tonight? Are you still in love with Him? Is it still fresh, intimate? Your daily time with the Lord more important than any other time you have? Is that the way it is in your Christian life? Heard an old story years ago. I've told it many times, but I like to tell it. If you've heard it already, just act like you're enjoying it. Years ago, there was a lady had a little boy. A little three-year-old boy would come up and she'd be doing dishes and he'd tug at her dress and say, "Mama, Mama, you're beautiful, Mama. But Mama, why do you wear old ugly gloves all the time?" And she'd say, "Son, someday we'll talk about it." And about 3 minutes later, you know, he'd be back tugging at her skirt. "Well, Mama, Mama, you got beautiful hair. And Mama, you're so beautiful in so many ways. But Mama, you wear old ugly gloves. Why do you wear those old ugly gloves all the time?" She said, "Someday we'll talk about it, son. I'm busy. Now go on." About 3 minutes passed, and there he is again, tugging on her skirt. Finally, she said, "Okay, let's talk about it." She picked him up, and she went and sat down on the couch. She said, "Son, when you were just an infant, one day I laid you back in your crib to have your afternoon nap. And Mama was doing some housework, and all of a sudden I smelt smoke. And I saw it coming out of your little room, and I ran back as fast as I could, and somehow there'd been an electrical fire and the flames were bursting up around your little crib, and I threw my body over you and tried to protect you as best I could, son. I tried to keep you from getting scarred or burnt, and boy, I ran out of the room with you, and you know, by the grace of God, son, you didn't get burned or hurt. But Mama's hands got burned to an awful degree. And they're all scarred. They're all marred. They're awful to look at, son." The little boy looked at her and said, "Mama, would you peel the old ugly gloves off for me and let me see?" She pulled those gloves off and he looked at those old, marred, scarred hands that snatched him from the fire. His lip began to quiver. "Truly, Mama, you're beautiful. Your hair is beautiful. Mama, the most wonderful things about you are those old scarred hands that saved me from the flames. And I want to tell you, friend, one day we're going to walk into heaven. It's not the pearly gates that are going to grab our attention. It's not the streets of gold. We're going to look upon Him who has the scars in His hands and His feet and His brow. And Jesus is going to be what makes it heaven for us."
Amen.
It's Him. It's seeing the one who loved us enough to suffer our hell for us. That's what it's all about. Church at Ephesus, good old-fashioned church. Well, they had good standards. They took a good they checked out. Well, they hated evil. They didn't let just anybody come in their church to preach. They're hard workers. Well, I mean, they stood when it was hard to stand. They bore up under the trials. But the Lord said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. If you don't repent, you're going to lose your church. Thou hast left thy first love." Hey, Christian, have you got all that character down, but you lost that foundation, that heart love for Christ, that sweet, intimate relationship, that time where you and He get alone in the morning and nobody comes in, but just you and Him? You share with Him things you don't share with anybody else. He gives you that grace and comfort that nobody else can supply. You open up His precious Word and He shows you things that you say, "Oh boy, Lord, I've read that before, but that's really something I needed today." Is that intimate relationship intact? Maybe a bunch of us ought to come to an altar on an old-fashioned Sunday and say, "Lord, I need to get back to that first love. I need to fall in love with You fresh and new." He desires your love. He deserves it. When you fall in love with Him, it's not a chore to serve Him. It's a great privilege and blessing. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time we've had together tonight. Thank you for this church and this good preacher. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be honest with thee. Maybe there's some Sunday school teachers, Lord, it's just kind of become a burden to bear rather than a blessing. Maybe some soul winners, some bus workers, some nursery workers, some who sing in the choir, sing specials. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that's never been saved. They've never known what it was to have that wonderful relationship with you. Please do your work in our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you tonight, and you say, Brother Booth, thank God I know I'm saved. Boy, I remember that wonderful day when the Spirit of God convicted my heart. I knew I was on my way to hell as a sinner. Somebody showed me from the Bible how to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I trusted Him that day I was born again. I was saved. I know without a doubt if I died, I'm going to heaven. If that's your honest testimony, would you raise your hand? Just raise it up and then put it down. Of course, I couldn't see everybody's hand. I want you to just be honest with the Lord tonight. I wonder how many would say, thank God I'm saved, Brother Booth. I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, the Lord knew what I needed tonight. The Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart as you preached tonight. Some things I need to settle with the Lord tonight as a Christian. Pray for me. Would you slip your hands up, Christians? God spoke to your heart. God bless you. All over the auditorium, God bless you. Thank God for your tender hearts. You may put them down. Maybe something I didn't mention specifically. Sin that's got you trapped. And you know that your relationship isn't right with Him. You're wanting to give your affection to somebody else more than to Him. Been a long time since you had a sweet walk with God on a regular basis. Worldliness has crept into your life. Maybe something I never mentioned, never preached on, but the Lord's dealing with you about tonight. You'd say, Brother Booth, I didn't raise my hand before, but God is dealing with my heart tonight about some things as a Christian. Include me in the prayer. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. There are others. God bless you. I'm glad we waited. Several others. God bless you. They put your hand down. Young people, this is a great time in your life to learn to begin to have a sweet relationship with your Lord. This is the prime time for you. I wonder tonight if there's anybody who'd say, be honest with you, preacher, if I died right this minute, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Be honest with you, I'm not sure. I've got some doubts about that. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I could know for sure I was saved, forgiven, on my way to heaven, I'd like to know that for sure. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Just put it up and then put it down. Just put it up and put it down. I couldn't see real well. In just a moment, we're going to stand for prayer. After we pray, the music will begin to play. I'm going to ask you, God spoke to your heart as a Christian. You find your way to an old-fashioned altar and you confess to the Lord what He's dealt with your heart about. Let's get some things right tonight. If you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, please don't leave that way. You come and you let Brother Hansen at the front here know. You let him know that you want to be saved. And he'll have somebody trained in the Bible, take the Bible, and show you from the Bible how you can get that settled in just a few minutes tonight by putting your faith and trust in Christ. It's not about joining a church, putting money in an offering plate, going through classes of confirmation, or being baptized. It's about trusting Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for us, was buried, rose again, and offers you the gift of eternal life, but you have to accept it. You're not sure you're saved. You come in just a moment when others come. But don't just kneel at the altar. You let Brother Hansen at the front know that you want to be sure you're saved. Stand with me for prayer, please. Again, Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. And to think, Lord, that you would want our love is an amazing thing. We fail thee so often, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, you saw many, many hands were raised. Oh, God, give some victories tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd rescue some from some shipwreck down the road. Walking in the flesh, the devil trapping them. Lord, help us to keep a sweet, intimate relationship with Thee. And I pray tonight, Lord, if there should be some that need to be saved, God give them the courage as others come to also come and let Brother Hansen know that they want to be saved. Do your mighty work. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. As the music plays, God spoke to your heart. You come right now, would you? The very first stanza, you come on. God spoke to your heart. Come on. Let's be honest with Him tonight. How's that relationship with Him tonight? You get into the routine of serving and working and all the things that look good and not be right. That first and great commandment. If you're not sure you're saved, please don't leave that way. God loves you enough. He paid the price with Jesus at Calvary. You'll come and let Brother Hansen at the front here know that you need to be saved. Our delight to show you from the Scripture how to be saved. Take the time you need to call. Others need to come. God waiting for you tonight. What a great time to get things settled with the Lord on an old-fashioned night.